Yeah, let's move forward. Michael, we're good to go? We are good to go. All right, so I'd like to call to order the December 4th meeting of Health, Human Services, and Housing. We're going to start by entertaining approval of the October 30th and November 4th meeting minutes. Do I have a motion to approve?
Motion.
Moved by Legislator McCullough, seconded by Legislator Harmon. Any discussion on either of those minutes? All right. All those in favor of approving the October 30th and November 3rd, November 4th meeting minutes?
Thanks.
Any opposed? All right. We have a presentation tonight from People USA. We have Steve Michio.
Michio.
We have Steve Michio here, as well as some others from the team, and we'll give you the floor. And we ask the presentation to be around 5 minutes, and then we open the floor to questions.
5 minutes.
If you can. Yeah.
All right. So I'll briefly describe who we are as an organization. Do I just get this on?
If you want to tell me next slide, so you
okay,
don't have
next
to.
Slide, yeah. So just to give you an idea, we're what's known as a peer-run organization, which means that all of us that work at the organization have a lived experience of mental health or substance use services. We started years ago in 1987 here in Ulster as a result of the deinstitutionalization of a psychiatric center. And as people were being released from center, advocacy groups started within the communities, and we were one of those first groups. So since then, we've grown services because we weren't just doing advocacy when I started. I got into services, and we do a whole host of services now, which are our peers do a lot of groups and community-based, lived experience mutuality services for people to help them understand that healing is possible. We have respite houses. We were primarily the creator of these respite houses where instead of going into a hospital, you come to our house. It's like a bed and breakfast environment, and you get educated on different ways of healing, different ways of living an independent life, and getting through your crisis differently. Care coordination is like case management, old-time case management, but it's called care coordination now. We provide supportive housing, which is we subsidize people's housing, 2/3 of the rent. They pay 1/3, and we help them to acclimate to their communities and live independently and self-determined. Support lines, we have 24-hour warm lines. They're called support lines where people can call us anytime, and somebody's going to answer and help them through whatever difficulties they have. So that's in addition to 988. 988 is the national suicide line that people use, but we're also a warm line locally for the people we serve as well. We have mobile teams in Westchester County and in Warren, Washington counties. Where else? No, that's it for now. Employment services we provide, and then the stabilization center, which we were the first in the Northeast to open a stabilization center. The only peer-run stabilization center in Dutchess County in the world that we started. And so now we're going to talk a little bit about what we're going to be doing here in Ulster County. So these are the values we live by and utilize every day in the work we do. And the difference is, if you've ever been to a hospital emergency room, you don't always see these values in the way people are treated. No matter what service we provide, this is what you're going to experience with us. And it's all about healing and hope. Next. Engagement. These are the four pillars of what make us work, that allow us to work and do the work we do. Engaging people in a very friendly and open manner. Environment is so important when you're meeting people. That's why our houses look like bed and breakfast. That's why the stabilization center is going to look so nice. Everything we do, we try to make the environments better for people we meet. The mutuality is that lived experience. When you can share that you're not alone with somebody who's in crisis or in distress, and they find out, wow, you seem to be doing well, that mutuality really lends a different level of trust. And when you can do that, they're willing to do things for themselves that they may not have done in traditional services. And then the philosophy, our philosophy is that hope greets you at the door and recovery is always the expectation of everyone we serve. And again, we live it, we believe in it, and we've got the outcomes to show that it works. So So the mental health crisis is a public health crisis. In 23, we had 30 completed suicides, unfortunately. We had 516 overdoses and 52 fatal overdoses here in Ulster County alone. This is a national problem. It's not an Ulster County problem. This is what we're seeing within our nation. Next. Providing a positive alternative, we're very involved in mental health services in jails, alternatives to incarceration, getting people the help they need instead of imprisoning people. Hospitals, psychiatric ERs, inpatient units often lack a trauma-informed, compassionate approach, but we provide that. And that just comes naturally with our values on making it different. So just to let you know, Kim is going to talk more about the stabilization center, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. Yeah. And the concept of it came from the world of crisis in the United States and how people are trying to avoid now emergency rooms because of the punitive care and the poor care that they get. Something else had to be created. Something had to be done about it. Instead of hospitals changing to make themselves better, stabilization centers started popping up around the country. And so I traveled the country. I looked at all the different centers that were in existence and then wrote a model, based on what we would use in Dutchess County. And now that's spreading. And because of what we did in Dutchess County, New York State adopted it and is now licensing them, this one will be licensed here in Ulster. And putting them into a Medicaid structure so that they are sustainable. So that's how we got here. So go ahead.
You can go next. Hi, everyone. I'm Kimberly Wang. Nice to meet you. I'm the Chief Operating Officer at People. So as Steve mentioned, our philosophy and the way we operate the centers really show outcomes, and we have the data to prove it. Here are some of them. Sorry, can you see if don't worry about it? You're like, I know these things. So we know that we divert from the hospital on an ongoing basis, which is important because a lot of people go to the hospital because it's the only option, not because it's the place that they want to go or need to go, because it's the only place they think is available to them. So we have diverted over 2,500 plus days of hospitalizations each year from our crisis support center, which is a cost savings of over $1,600,000 with the criminal justice system. Next slide.
Sorry.
That's okay. So this is a little indication of who we see. So we're open to everyone. Everyone is welcome. It doesn't matter who you are. We will meet and greet you with open arms when you come to our door. And we have seen over 3,000 people in 2023. And 2,350 of the guests were served with mental health challenges, but we also see people with substance use challenges, some opioid-related disorders, but the highest one we see is depressive disorders at 32%. 741 of our guests were served with substance use disorders in 2023. So when you think of a crisis stabilization center, I don't know what comes to your mind when you envision it, but it really is a family-oriented and welcoming place for all people. We see a lot of children. We'll talk a little bit more about the numbers in a second, but a quote from one of the parents is, "From a parent's point of view, you are all fantastic. It's a safe place. The staff was great and made my son feel very comfortable. And as a parent, I think there's nothing more than you want than your child to be cared for when they're in crisis and you don't know what to do." So we see a lot of youth at our Crisis Stabilization Center. 20% in 2022 were youth, 26% in 2023. And during the school year, it can go up to 60% of our guests being 18 and under. Can go on. I'm not going to read you this story, but this is another story about a guest who was brought into the center and how they were treated with such respect. You can read it if you'd like, or you could skip because I know we're really tight on time. So the services that we provide, I think this was mentioned, but we're open 24/7, 365 a year. So our staff is there anytime you need us, and we will provide a wide range of services, including the substance use assessments, mental health assessments, care coordination, therapeutic interventions, medication management and detox, aftercare planning, referrals, and follow-up. I just want to stress real quickly here that we assess and then we really meet people where they're at. And it's a very different type of atmosphere than when you go to a hospital and you're in crisis and you need support and someone's saying, fill out this paperwork, tell me your data, tell me your information. We're really slowing down that process and making sure people feel comfortable and their basic needs are met. And then we figure out how to help them through the crisis, and the follow-up is key. Tammy and her team do a fantastic job at follow-up and making sure we communicate with all community partners so that it's not a one-stop success, but it's a true community integration success. Access to our services, we have a no wrong door approach. So we will see anyone who presents at the center. And if we can't meet them, we'll make sure that if they need something else, we'll make sure they get it, but we meet everyone. There's no referral that's needed. Participants from any program can come, and a warm handoff is always appreciated when possible, but we'll always see people if they show up. So how can you help us? What we need is to provide public statements of support. Opening and ongoing operations of the center are really important. So if you can help communicate that the center is opening, provide information about the resources. We have a one-pager that we could provide to you all and the related departments, and refer individuals. People may not know about us. Like we said before, people go to the hospital because they think it's the only place. But once they come, they'll probably want to come back and start to spread the word. Word of mouth is really key. So thank you so much. To learn more about our support and our cause, please get involved, visit our website, our social media, or contact us directly at the, oh, I thought we had the cool QR code. We're not cool anymore. Sorry. But you got the traditional ways to contact us. So thank you so much.
If I can just add, this is completely voluntary. We don't do any forced treatment or any mandated treatment or anybody. This is completely voluntary. Mm-hmm. The reason why it's voluntary is because when you force someone into treatment, you don't get the same outcome usually, and those folks might need a higher level of care anyway, so it might be more of a medical intervention that they need. So I just want to be clear that everyone understands that, you know, people can walk in or volunteer to come in anytime.
Great, thank you so much. Does anyone have any questions? Yep, Legislator McCullough.
When it comes to substance abuse, do you guys support them financially if someone had to go to rehab, or do you provide rehab services?
My amazing team gets people connected, whether they have insurance or not, or money or not, into either a detox or rehab. Can you just introduce yourselves real quick?
Sure. Thank you for having us tonight. My name is Tammy Ruffin. I'm the Assistant Executive Director of Crisis Services.
Right. I'm Tanisha Castellanos. I'm the new site director of the Ulster County Support Crisis Center.
And if I can just add to that, so when individuals are coming to us as far as substance use, we have a wide array of services that we can provide. We also have access to harm reduction resources, education. So a lot of what we're doing is education. If somebody is dealing with an opioid use disorder, we have access to Narcan. We can do that education with individuals. So we meet individuals where they're at, and we provide the interventions that are best able to meet their needs. And if someone is willing to go to a rehab or a facility, we want to do that warm handoff. So make sure that we're making that connection so that the person is successful in their recovery.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is there a time limit on how long someone, or can they stay as long as they need to help?
So typically our interventions are less than 24 hours. Everyone who enters our door, that's how we refer to them as our guests, and that's how we treat them. Typically, on average, between 3 to 6 hours is when somebody's with us. Someone may stay with us a little bit longer. We are making one of those warm handoffs or connections, but within 24 hours, we're making some sort of connection and getting them to the next appropriate level of care.
And as you saw with one of the slides with the, it looks like a pretty lotus flower, we have such a continuum of care that we're never having someone leave. Like Tim said, a lot of times we have the Rose House as an option. We have a lot of different services to make sure that someone, just even from People USA, can be met right where they need to be met. And if not, we look elsewhere.
Great. Legislator Collins.
Do you have connections to medically assisted treatment also for opioid?
This center will.
Oh, well, okay.
It's under the license it can
okay.
provide.
You can provide the treatment? Yes. Yourself? Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Awesome. Thank you so much for being here. We really, really appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. And you're welcome to stay for the rest of the meeting. You don't have to.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And we're very excited for the work that's going to be happening together.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah,
we are too. So thank you.
Appreciate your time.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we're going to jump into resolutions. resolution. So there's a couple of, there's two categories of resolution that we have tonight that are there's a bunch of mental health contracts,
mm-hmm.
and there's also a bunch of DSS contracts. They're all renewals. And I will give you guys the option to block them if you so choose. And I have it all written out if you want to do that. And even if we block it, it doesn't mean we can't discuss a specific resolution if anyone has an issue or a question or concern. But we're not at those yet. The first resolution tonight is Resolution 642, approving the execution of a contract for $168,000 entered into by the county with Howick Law LLC for the Office for the Aging. And let's see, from the Office for the Aging, yes. You want to give us a little bit of background on?
Sure. This is a contract for legal services in our office. It was an RFP that was awarded again to Erica Holwick Williams. She serves a lot of our clients, does a lot of estate work, wills, powers, attorneys, healthcare proxies, and then other Medicaid help and a lot of other issues. She was awarded a two-year contract.
Great. So, and this is the same vendor?
Yes.
Who did it prior? Okay, great. Thank you. Any questions on this? That's it.
Yep, the motion to adopt.
Yep. So we've got a motion to adopt by Legislator Collins, seconded by Legislator McCullough. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? And is that the only OFA one we have tonight? All right. Cool. Thank you, Deputy Director Riley. We appreciate you being here. The next one is authorizing Resolution 243, authorizing the Chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the City of Kingston for funding the Kingston Mobile Mental Health Team through the Department of Mental Health. And I don't see Tara here. Oh, yes.
Hi.
Do you want to jump in and give us a little bit of background on this?
Sure. Yeah, this is funding that the City of Kingston receives, and we're sort of the in-between to subcontract with Access Supports for a Living because they provide our mobile mental health services.
Great. Thank you. Any questions? Any comments or concerns? All right, then I'll entertain a motion to adopt Resolution 643, moved by Legislator Harmon, seconded by Legislator Collins. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. So now we have a bunch of contracts, the mental health contracts. These are all renewals. Are there any, none of them have any significant changes in them?
No, there are some amendments, if I'm not mistaken, to 2024 contracts and then a bunch of 2025 contracts that there's no significant thing that possibly going to be.
Got it.
And it's all state aid funding that passed through the county.
Great.
I'd like to make a resolution to block. So I'd like to make a motion to block Resolution 644 through.
It's, I'll read it to you. It's 644, 645, 646, 647, 651, and 655.
I'll second.
All right, so it's second by Legislator Harmon. Any discussion on the action of blocking them together? Everyone's comfortable with this?
Yes.
Yep. Okay. All right, so I'm going to call the question on the act of blocking them together. All those in favor on blocking these resolutions together?
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed? Okay. On the block itself, which again is 644, 645, 646, 647, 651, and 655, any discussion on the block? Any questions? All right. Then I will call the question on the block of resolutions. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those, anyone opposed? Okay. That was done, right? I didn't listen to that motion.
The next one's 646.
Yeah.
648, sorry.
So 648. So we still have to do, yeah, that's why it wasn't just a straight shot. So the next is 648, approving the execution of a contract amendment $50,185 entered into by the county with Gateway Community Industries, doing business as Gateway Hudson Valley through the Department of Mental Health. Deputy Director Kearney.
Trina. This is a amendment for a cost of living increase through the Office of Mental Health State Aid.
Katrina. Sorry. I have my cheat sheet here and I got it wrong. I'm really, really sorry. What's your title?
I'm Deputy Commissioner.
Deputy Commissioner.
Deputy, yeah.
Okay, got it. I need to add her to the list. Okay. So any are there any questions on this one? Okay. Then I will entertain a motion to adopt resolution 648.
Second.
Right, moved by Legislator McCullough, second by Legislator Collins. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Resolution 649, rescinding resolution 517 of 2024 and approving the execution of a contract for $800,000 entered by the county with LaSalle School through the Department of Mental Health. And Deputy Commissioner Williams,
yes.
If you want to give us a little bit of background on it.
So this is the Mental Health in Schools program. We did the contract for too much money. So this is less money than we were.
This is great. You like that.
It had to be reintroduced.
Okay. Any questions on that? Why was it for too much money?
Because the initial contract was over 15 months, and we plump forgot. So we did it for the 15-month amount instead of 12.
Oh, okay, for the renewal. Got it.
Sorry.
Got it. Okay, fair. Go ahead, Legislator Harmon.
The funds have been allocated. Would keeping them enable you to provide services in more places or greater depth of services?
That's a great question. I love that question. I don't know if the provider has the capacity to expand what they're doing, but that's something that we could, you know, explore as a possibility.
Okay. Yeah. Just thinking that it's already there. But
it's a new program, so we've kind of, I think, gotten to a point where we're, like, really ramping up to where we're now running it efficiently, so that might be premature, but I certainly appreciate the question.
Legislator Collins?
So I know one school district, this talk that would like to have more than 10 slots.
Yeah.
So know that that's at least one. I'm not sure if more than that want more than 10 slots. So I don't know if you can leave the same money you've already allocated and get more slots. Not more slots if they can support that. I don't know how that works.
Yeah, it's certainly possible. We can talk to LaSalle about what's possible. Right now we're really close to being at full capacity, but we're not actually there yet. So we're currently working with LaSalle to figure out how they can create more opportunities for schools who want more opportunities using the lower capacity that's not being utilized by other districts, if that makes sense.
It does.
So that's what we're doing right now.
Okay.
But
so they can shift maybe some over from a school that only has 5 people in it to one that might have 15 people.
Yeah. I mean, we're a big county geographically, obviously.
Yeah.
So that's where the challenges come into play because they have teams kind of going, you know, to all the different areas of the county. If they go to more than one district, but there's definitely the interest from many of the schools to expand, to see it go beyond the middle school population. It's a really effective program that is, you know, really well received by the school. So we definitely long term would like to see it expand.
Okay. And again, going back to the question that Legislator Harmon asked, is maybe we can just keep the same money and expand services within the schools that are already being served and have them be able to do 15 people instead of 10 people, for example.
But it sounds like LaSalle doesn't have that capacity yet.
Yeah, maybe not. In other words, we love the program. Want to get as much out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Station I would love to have with LaSalle, for sure. I think that it's worth exploring if that's what I'd like to do.
I'll just share. I personally am fully supportive of the practice of bringing us resolutions that return money that we allocated that was needed. I wouldn't want. I think if they were to expand the program, I would like to see them come seek legislative.
Absolutely, yeah, really
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which I agree with. I would love to see the program expand for sure. It's a great program. Yeah, and it was great to have the director of LaSalle here a few months ago on that. That was really good. Yeah. Any other discussion on resolution 649? Okay, then I'll entertain a motion to adopt 649. Moved by Legislator Harmon.
Second.
And seconded by Legislator Collins. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Resolution 650, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $51,000 entered into by the county with Mental Health Association of Ulster County through the Department of Mental Health. And Deputy Commissioner Williams, do you want to give us a brief background?
Yeah, so this is just a cost of living increase to the state aid contract for FHA, who provides lots of different services under that contract.
Any questions, comments, or concerns? I'll entertain a motion to adopt. Moved by Legislator Harmon, seconded by Legislator Collins. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, 651 was in that block that we did. 652, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $30,570, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000, and soon to by the county with people, projects to empower and organize the psychiatrically labeled through the Department of Mental Health. Not to be confused with People USA, who we just...
Same.
It is the same?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's what it stands for?
Yeah.
How, okay. That's fine.
They also get state aid funding in addition to the new work that they're doing. That's very exciting. They have other programs that are longstanding in Ulster County, and then they get state aid funding through the office, okay. Here's the Office of Mental Health to do that. So this is another COLA increase.
I always thought it was two different organizations.
They changed their name. People USA is their new name, but they say their legal name is still the really old one.
Can we tell Vicky to do like a DBA thing
mm-hmm.
here? Thank you. That would confuse me less.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Any questions, comments, or concerns? Then I will entertain a motion. Legislator Collins, seconded by Legislator McCullough. All those in favor? Any opposed? Resolution 653, approving the execution of a contract for $456,743 and entered by the county with people, projects to empower and organize the psychiatrically labeled through the Department of Mental Health, the same people we saw earlier. Deputy Commissioner Williams, do you have anything that you'd like to add on this?
State aid contract for 2025. Yeah.
Yep, that is... Yeah, but it's a 3% county match.
Yes.
For it. Yeah.
Oh, okay, got it.
Yeah. Cool. Any questions, comments, concerns? Then I'll entertain the motion to adopt.
Motion.
Moved by Collins, seconded by Harmon. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Resolution 654, was that in our block?
No.
Resolution 654, approving the execution of a contract amendment, $43,320, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000. Entered by the county with Rehabilitation Support Services, Inc., through the Department of Mental Health. And I believe this is increased funding. Is that right?
It's another cost of living increase for their state aid, yeah.
Cool. Any questions, comments, or concerns? All right. Then I'll entertain a motion to adopt. Moved by Legislator Harmon, seconded by Legislator McCullough. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Great.
655 was in the block. Now we're getting into a big old block of DSS contracts. And so I'm going to read them, and if someone is compelled to block them, you can just say so moved. I would entertain a motion to block resolutions 656, 657, 658, 659, 660, 661, 662, 665, 668, 669, 671, 672, 673, 674, 676, 678.
And 663.
Did I not read 663? And 663.
I'll move it.
I'll second.
Great. So on the action of blocking it, is there any discussion? Anyone uncomfortable with the block, with the act of blocking them together? I will mention that I omitted 664 from this because they DSS asked to pull that and another one. I'm pulling 664 and 670 at your request.
Okay.
Yep. So in any event, on the action of blocking these, is there any discussion? All right, then I will call the question on blocking those resolutions. All those in favor of the act of blocking them?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. On the block of resolutions, is there any discussion, any questions for our Commissioner of DSS? These are all contract renewals. Okay. Then I will...
the block.
Yep, and I think the block is already... We just need to call a question on the block, or...
No, we don't.
Okay. So, motion to move to adopt the block. All those in favor? All right. So, a motion, and then who seconded it?
Seconded.
Legislator Harmon seconded it. All those in favor? Any opposed? All right. So now I've got to go through and figure out which ones are missing from the block.
So you already have it?
Okay, great. Approving the resolution 666, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $171,343,000 insurance by the county with Family Services, Inc. through the Department of Social Services. And this is extending the term of the contract. Is there anything that we should know about this, Deputy Commissioner?
The Family Service is here with us.
Great.
They, for a long period of time, successful. They ran our family education support visitation programs. We went out to RFP this year for all those services that you just locked. And unfortunately, Family Services did not win one of those proposals, but we wanted to extend it 3 months because we have families that they're currently servicing in the middle of their curriculum. We want to be able to transition them from one supervised visitation program to another, and we just thought doing that 3 months would be able to get us. We have approximately, I want to say, 8 families that are receiving in-home parenting services, and another 8 or so, I think.
Yeah, I think we have 15
total. 15 total. Another 8 or so that are getting supervised visits that have that parenting piece to it. So it would just allow us that time to get the newer contracts in place and get those families transferred over.
All right. Are there any questions? And especially because we have a representative from Family Services here. If anyone have any questions or concerns, Legislator McCullough?
Is 3 months enough time?
Yes, we believe so. Welcome back. We have some families, the newer families that we have on the roster to start services, we put a hold on that. So there won't be any new families starting. It's everybody that we're currently working with. And
normally we work with people from like 4 to 7 months. So many of these people we've had them for a few months, so the hope is that, you know, they would at least be ready for transition when other agencies are onboarded, and we can do that in a thoughtful, careful way.
Regarding the families that would have been added to the queue, how are they being handled?
I'll let Rita.
So the families right now are foster families and preventive. Preventive services cases where children are placed in what we call end docket custody of relatives. We kind of work with them based on where they are in the readiness for it. And we've been talking, their caseworkers will work with them to help with this.
Okay, but is there like going to be a gap of being able to accommodate families that would have been serviced by Family Services? Based on transition to another vendor?
No, I do not believe so. Actually, by extending this contract, it doesn't rule out the possibility that we might actually use Family Services for a family that arrives at being ready to be in services in January. So we're not going to necessarily have a strict rule of not signing up any more families with Family Services, Chair. And, you know, the reality is, Legislator McCullough asked the question about, is 3 months enough time? We do believe it will be, but in the event that there continues to be some additional time required for transition, we will revisit this probably in February or March. And, you know, our hope is to monitor it closely and just ensure that we've been able to make appropriate transitions. But no one will not receive services on a timely basis.
Any other questions? And I will entertain a motion to adopt Resolution 666. Legislator McCullough, seconded by Legislator Harmon. All those in favor? Any opposed? All right. Resolution 667, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $28,000, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment to be in excess of $50,000, entered into by the county with Industrial Medicine Associates, PC, through the Department of Social Services, and let's see, this is also a contract term amendment. Is there anything else we should know about this one?
And this is just part of the process when you're applying for public assistance. It's the assessment, the contractor will assess the client for their need for any substance abuse or treatment, and it's part of that application process. And it's basically a fee for service type thing. They bill us based on the referrals and who they see and that process.
Any questions from the committee? Okay. So then I will entertain a motion to adopt 667. Legislator McCullough? Seconded by Legislator Harmon. All those in favor? Any opposed? All right. And our next one, is it 675?
677.
677. I don't have 675 in the block.
Well, so let me put it in there. Can I check that out?
This one?
675.
This is 667.
My apologies. Yeah, we'll see what happens. Okay. So, 675, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $250,000 and paid by the county with Rondout Legal Services, Inc., through the Department of Local Services. Commissioner Iposti, is there anything? So, it's like a contract. This is the final contract extension for the provider, is that right?
Yes, that's correct. They provide services that involve personal service, pardon debt are involved in legal proceedings that we initiate in family court to ensure that we're meeting notice requirements. They also serve subpoenas on entities that we're subpoenaing to provide information or provide testimony.
Any questions from the committee? Any discussion? And I will entertain a motion to adopt Resolution 675. Moved by Legislator Harmon, seconded by Legislator McCullough. All those in favor? Any opposed? All right. 677. Resolution 677, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $36,000 and to, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county with Youth Advocate Programs, Inc. through the Department of Social Services. And Commissioner Iposti, do you want to...
So we're adding funds to this year's contract.
Okay.
This is 100% funded by the state. We execute the contract with the reimbursement. It's for our youth 16, 17, 18 that are involved with the justice system. They're adolescent offenders, juvenile delinquents, whatever term you want to give. And it's providing them extra services in the community. Support, and we had additional money available, and we needed the services, so it's to add to this year's contract.
Cool. Any questions from the committee? Any discussion? Then I will entertain a motion to adopt Resolution 677.
I'll move it.
Moved by Legislator Collins, seconded by Legislator McCullough. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. So the next, we did 678 was part of the block. So the last resolution is one of ours. It is Resolution 526, urging the Ulster County Executive to implement the membership recommendations of the Ulster County Comptroller for the Ulster County Compliance Committee. And I did speak with the Vice Chair of the Committee from the Minority Caucus, Legislator Lopez, this morning. And he had conferred with the author, Legislator Kovacs. They would like this to be voted on. I'll just speak, you know, personally. I'm comfortable with this. It's basically a memorializing resolution, I'm prepared to move this forward tonight. But either way, I think we should. I know we were waiting to hear from the county executive's team, so let's do that. Deputy Executive Contreras, do you want to share where you guys are at on this?
Sure.
Yeah.
So we did ask for an opinion from Bonadio Group, who is the consultant that we get expert advice on implementing the compliance program. They provided two opinions, one on the addition of the legislative reps and then one on the comptroller's office. And I can provide it to you all in writing, although I guess you're going to vote on it tonight. But basically the high-level opinion is that adding representatives from those independently elected offices would negatively impact the effectiveness of the committee. So on the legislative side, everything that the compliance committee does is based on OMIG guidance, so guidance from the Office of the Medicaid Inspector General. And that guidance states who should be on the committee. And basically it says that the committee should include county senior leadership, representing program operations, finance, human resources, legal, and key operating units. So the only counties that have representation from their legislative branch on their compliance units are the ones where the legislature is responsible for overseeing operations, so the ones that don't have a county executive. On the comptroller side, similar argument, the comptroller is independently elected to audit and examine the use of county taxpayer dollars. So in order to be independent, you know, in order to independently audit this work, they shouldn't be in as part of the committee.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically the long story short of what the opinion says. I'm happy to provide it to you all in writing if you want to read it further. If you have any questions, Tom, given your compliance officer, is here to elaborate.
Do you have any concerns, Tom?
To the extent that I do agree with the recommendations from our compliance consultant, she did outline it, and she also worked with one of her partners. One of her senior partners wasn't even just her opinion. They actually took what's going on in the community, other counties. I think it would be overstepping a boundary.
Hmm. All right, let's open it up to discussion. How do we feel about this? Yeah, Legislator Harmon?
So I'm trying to understand the reasoning of wanting us to vote on it without hearing from the author or I.
Well, they just want an up or down vote. They're going to just, because it's been here for 3 months. So I think they're just like, you know what,
right.
let's just, if it's going to be defeated, then they'll petition to discharge it. It'll be one of those things. I'm going to vote in support of it tonight. I don't see a huge downside. Plus, if the county executive doesn't want to do it, they won't do it. Like, it's not compelling them to do it. It's urging them to do it. And so, I'm comfortable advancing it, after conversation with with Legislator Lopez. But I'm also, if it fails, it fails. That's what they want.
It's going to be in our session anyway, so maybe we'll just get it passed this way. I mean, I'll just do a discharge petition, so
yeah,
it's not worth.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like, considering that it's not binding, and I'm very interested in finding ways to work with our colleagues across the aisle, I'm inclined to, and also the fact that they're not here, which is the result of having moved the meeting, which is a decision that I made, and I want to appreciate that. I don't want the resolution to be prejudiced by that. So that's why I will be voting in favor of it. Yeah. Any other discussion? Are there any other committees it has to go through? No. Okay. Well, yeah.
So there's more daylight if we just take it to the floor.
Yeah, absolutely. I would really like you guys to share that opinion with, in writing, yeah. All right, so then I will entertain a motion to adopt 526. Yep, moved by Legislator McCullough.
Sure.
Seconded by Legislator Collins. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, those are resolutions. There's no new business, there's no old business. I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Is there a second for that? Seconded by Legislator Harmon. All those in favor? Any post? All right.
Thanks, everyone.